Thanks for joining us in today's podcast, where we're going to be talking about the Miracle Ear presentation for new patients. By following this presentation, you will have an easier time with new patients and get them to take action sooner rather than later. Now, it's not going to be perfect, and you're not going to use this word for word, because every presentation, every person, their experiences they've had, it's all going to change slightly. But by having this process in a step-by-step kind of format, it will help you and help make that process easier. Now, before any presentation, make sure that you are ready to go in all facets. Clean up your office. Make sure that your office looks professional, clean, and tidy. Make sure that your lobby looks clean, professional, and tidy. And make sure that you look professional, clean, and tidy. They've actually done studies on this that the more professional that you look, the more money you will make. So make sure that you're looking good. Next, do your research. Read the notes in CycleNet. Make sure that whoever is answering the phone is taking good notes and leaving those notes in CycleNet for you to read. All of the information that could possibly help you is always helpful. So you might need to coach your PCC on what you're looking for, what information would be helpful for you. But usually as time goes on, they'll start to see those things and it'll make it easier for you in the future. Next, read the notes and the documents that they fill out. Go over that with kind of a fine-tooth comb. You're going to look at their date of birth and how old they are. When you start seeing people that are 80, 85, 90, 95, expect to hear them make an objection about not having much time left to live, or I don't want to spend that kind of money because I'm getting older. It's just one of the things that you're going to hear. So being mentally prepared for that is going to give you an edge on how to handle that objection later in the process. The more that we can handle those objections early on, the easier it's going to be to shape their perception and change their viewpoint on that objection. Okay, so going over the documents is going to help you to see things like that objection coming up, or the fact that they've worn hearing aids before, or they've had a hearing test 6 months ago, 2 years ago. And you can ask questions to dig a little bit deeper, like the last time you had a test, we tell you. If they had a test and they didn't do something about it, and the person that they went and saw told them that they had a hearing loss and that they should get hearing aids, then I can ask them, okay, so you got them. No, you didn't. Okay, how come you didn't get the hearing aids when they recommended to get them? They might say price. They might say I wasn't ready for it. But asking those questions will give you more intel. What I would recommend is to take a red felt tip pen and circle any of the yeses on the questionnaire form. Red, ingrained in us from an early age, is something bad when you see it on documents. Think back to when you were in elementary school. When you saw your quiz or test and you got it back and it had red marks on it, was that good or was that bad? That's the same concept. When they're sitting in front of you and they see red marks on the paper, it's instantly going to start creating a different perspective on what's going on. And that's kind of what we want to create, is a little concern and worry. That is why people buy. It's based on emotion, and then they justify it with logic. So that's the first thing that you want to do. Now, make sure that you also have a great mindset. You have to have your mindset in the right place. So for the next hour and a half to 2 hours, forget everything else and be present with them. No matter what is going on, forget it. Have a positive, kind, and caring attitude. They can sense whether you are trying to make a sale or whether you truly care. If you want to help more people and you want to sell more hearing aids, then you need to care more. So you go greet the patient. Make sure that you are smiling, that you have a warm, friendly, and respectful tone of voice. Make sure that you look them in the eyes and you shake their hand with confidence. Now, one thing, just a little side note, a handshaking tip. Do not try to win the hand-squeezing battle with men. Nobody likes a broken hand, and nobody also likes a dead fish, so don't give them the limp hand. People tend to like people who are like them. So go ahead and emulate the amount of pressure that they give you. If you have a female and she gives you a very soft handshake, then go ahead and give her a soft handshake back. It shows that you are respectful and you are matching and mirroring the amount of pressure, and that is a good thing. If you have a cowboy who likes to shake his hand with some real strength and you give him back some strength, then they're going to say, man, I like this guy. He's got a good handshake. That says a lot about a man. So that's just a little side note. Make sure that you want to engage in small talk, but they can sense whether you are just trying to build rapport and find commonalities. A simple question such as, so where are you from, can allow you enough friendly conversation and find a point of connection without overdoing it. When you ask a question, make sure that you're paying attention. This is one thing that I see consultants do is they'll ask a question and then they start looking at the notes and they're looking here, they're looking elsewhere, and they're not really paying good attention. So when you ask a question, look them in the eyes and let them do the talking. Now, there is a difference between being interesting and being interested. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you're talking to somebody and they do 99% of the talking? I mean, all you're saying is, okay, yeah, absolutely. And they do the majority of the talking. And at the end of the conversation, they say, I like you. I don't know why, but I can tell you're a good person. And you said very little. I mean, they know nothing about you. And yet they still said, I like this guy. Mainly because you showed interest in them. And when you show interest in somebody, they love that. So when you are having a conversation with your patients, make sure that you are interested in the conversation that you are having. Make sure that you are showing interest in who they are and you are not trying to interest them. Now, once you start talking to them, you can start finding what's going on, finding their omissions to problems, whether they pick and circle that their left is worse or their right is worse, if they're having problems in crowds or noisy areas, or if they're having trouble on the phone or with their spouse, make sure that you circle those in red and you can dig deeper. Kind of like the layers of an onion, you'll want to peel that back. Now, there's this one thing called the nod, pause, and echo. Great for people when they're telling you something, you nod as if you're hearing it, then you pause briefly, and then you echo what they're telling you. As you are talking to them, that is something that will make them feel like, ah, they are hearing me. So it's called reflective listening, but some call it the nod, pause, and echo. Now the transition, one thing that you can do is you can start into explaining what's going on with the audiogram and the anatomy and what we're going to do today. So for me, what I do is I say, you know, let me start by taking a peek in your ears, or I will explain the audiogram and the anatomy, and then I will go into that. All right. So you're going to jump into explaining the hearing system or the anatomy. Now, keep this stuff simple, but you want to educate them on the importance of getting help sooner rather than later. Now, this is after you go over their intake and you kind of peel back those onion layers, but you do not want to skip the explanation of their hearing system and the anatomy. It's critical because it helps you build urgency. And this is something that, again, the more pain, the more urgent it becomes. So you can say something like this. Let me explain how our hearing system works. Now, most people think that we hear with our ears, but we actually hear with our brain. Our ears only catch the sound. The sound travels down the ear canal. It goes through your eardrum, through these tiny little bones. Then it goes into this snail-like structure called the cochlea. This is where most people have their hearing loss. We have thousands of little nerves in here. They're like little hairs. When the sound goes into the cochlea, it stimulates these hairs or nerves, and then it sends the information to your brain where it's processed. Now, part of the reason that we recommend getting help sooner rather than later is because it involves our brain. This part of your brain that processes sound and speech is called the temporal lobe or the auditory cortex. That is also home of short-term memory. Now, if we don't stimulate these nerves in the cochlea, that means this part of the brain doesn't get stimulated. And kind of like the old saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, over the past few years, they have come out with many studies showing the correlation between hearing loss and memory loss, dementia, and Alzheimer's. One study done by Johns Hopkins shows that people with hearing loss, when compared to people with normal hearing, they lost more than a cubic centimeter of brain tissue each year than people with normal hearing. The other reason that we recommend getting help sooner than later is because we cannot regrow those nerves. We can only work with what we have. When it's gone, it's gone. Unfortunately, there are some people who wait too long for whatever reason, and sometimes they come in and they're saying, okay, now I'm really struggling. And I've seen people wait and wait and wait, and then they come in and they spend $8,000, $10,000, $15,000 on hearing aids and they don't help. That's usually when we're recommending to get some kind of surgery. Now, that is called price conditioning. You can price condition with the anatomy, or you can price condition with the audiogram. Now, more commonly, I will do it with the audiogram, but you can do it in either place. It's up to you. We want to rip that sticker off now so they're not coming to the end of the price sheet saying, oh my gosh, that's way too expensive. And they give you the, I can't make a decision. That is way more than I thought. And that is what we call the sticker shock. So to eliminate the sticker shock, we price condition early on. And we do it in a smooth way through the audiogram or through the anatomy. So it comes across as just an educational way of telling them about hearing aids. Going into the audiogram, and again, you can do this before the anatomy or after. It's really up to you. So when you're explaining the audiogram, you're going to do something like this. We're going to record your hearing results on this audiogram. The numbers at the top are different tones. From left to right, they go low tones to high tones, kind of like the keys of a piano. Now, the numbers on the side are volume levels. As we're going lower and lower, the sound is getting louder and louder. Now, we're going to test your left and your right ear, and we're going to try to find the least amount that you can hear, and we're going to mark it on this audiogram. So right here at zero, this is what we consider 20/20 in the hearing world. This is what we're shooting for. Now, if the marks where you barely hear are in this green area, you're doing okay. We do have people that get help in this area, but it's not until this point and below do we consider it to be necessary to get help. From this point, 25 decibels, to this point, 70 decibels, is where we tell people we need to get help. That's where we can make the biggest difference. When those marks fall into the red area, it starts to begin to be a question on how much we can help. Now, if your hearing and those marks fall into this profound range, it's extremely difficult to help, if possible at all. This is actually considered to be legally deaf. Now, at this point, I usually will draw three X's in that area, or I will write the word deaf under the word profound on the audiogram. This is the other area that I will price condition. And I will say, if all of your hearing was in this area, it wouldn't matter if you had $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 hearing aids. It's not going to make much of a difference for you. I will continue on and I'll say, now here's the interesting part. In the low tones, this is where volume and bass comes in. This is where the vowels come in. Now, this is where you hear, but it's actually the high tones where we get all of our clarity. It's the high tones where the consonants come in. If we don't get those, then we say, you know, I heard you talking, but I didn't understand you. Did you say chair or share? Did you say chew or shoe? The difference between one word and another is only one letter. But in a sentence, that's what changes everything. Somebody might say, I'm going to bake a cake, but you heard him say, I'm going to make a steak, and it's only two letters different, or I'm going to take a break. That's how most people hear. They typically will hear better in the low tones, and they'll hear the vowels, but they don't hear the consonants. That is one way that I will explain the audiogram. There are different times where I will write on the high frequency side. I will say, for people who hear better in the low tones, they're going to do well in quiet rooms. They're going to do well with men's voices. But women's voices, children, soft talkers, fast talkers, crowds, groups, noisy areas, restaurants, church, family get-togethers, that is where we live. And I'm writing all those things on the high frequency side. So again, I'm going to mix this up a little bit depending on what that person needs. Then I will take a peek in their ears. I will sometimes crack a joke and say, well, the good news, there's no potatoes, there's no spiders or ants crawling around in there. Or I'll say, hey, guess what? I can't see through. There's no light shining through on the other side. It is important to have jokes and to find ways of getting the patient to laugh and to be happy at the same time. You have to have what I call the pressure lever. Okay, that lever is something that you need to be able to put pressure on people to make a decision, but then lighten the load by getting them to laugh and to have fun. They have found that when people are happy and in a positive mood, they're willing to spend more money. So you have to be good at influencing them and giving them a good experience and putting them in that positive state of mind. But at the same time, knowing when to pull back the reins and tighten it up and create some pain. I always tell people that the hearing process and our miracle ear presentation is taking people on a roller coaster. When they come in, we want to create it, and we're taking them higher and higher, and they say, wow, what a great experience. This is amazing. I love this place. I love these people. They're caring. They're asking thoughtful questions. They're offering me coffee and water or tea. They're really rolling out the red carpet for me. And then once we start talking to them and digging into their hearing problems, that's when that roller coaster starts going down and things start getting a little bit more painful. And we're explaining the audiogram and the anatomy, and we're creating some pain and urgency in doing that. We're asking further questions like, how long has that been going on for? How does that affect you? Tell me more about that. Really, how about this area? How about that area? And we're getting more and more pain and information about what's going on with their hearing loss. After we test them and we go over the results, it creates more pain because they have a significant hearing loss. And then we do the circle of understanding, and they get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 words out of 10 with me sitting right in front of them. And that just creates more problems and more pain. But then, just then, we put in the demos and they start hearing better and they start getting excited and they start seeing that they're doing better and hearing better, and we're smiling again and our voice changes again and we're sitting up and we're excited for them because they're doing better, and then they buy. And that's kind of that roller coaster that we leave them on that high note with an appointment for next week that they're excited about to pick up their hearing aids. And that's kind of the roller coaster. So after we explain the audiogram and the anatomy, we take a peek in their ears, then we jump into the test. Now, make sure that you do a full and thorough exam as much as you possibly can, because every test that you do, it creates more confidence in the patient that you know what you're doing. There's a lot of places will only do an air and bone test. They don't do discrims or Quixen. And so that is one other way that you will set yourself above the competition, because you are doing a more thorough exam. And they also have done studies on this, and they have found that the more tests that you do, you will have a higher closing rate. So after you do the test, then you go over the results, and you'll explain it different for each person. But typically I'm saying these red circles here are your right ear. These blue X's are your left ear, and these marks are where you barely hear from low tones to high tones. And they can see on the audiogram now, since you have explained it, exactly where they're at. And then you can give a brief pause. Then you explain and you say something along the lines of, this is why you are having trouble here and here and here. You hear better in the low tones than you do in the high tones, John. And because of that, you are able to hear just fine, but that's why you're having trouble in these areas. You're missing out on those consonants. Now, here's the key when you do that circle of understanding. If they have 40 decibels or worse at 2K on out, then this would be a perfect time to do the circle of understanding. And I usually transition and say, you know, I'd like to conduct another test. I want to see how you hear in a live situation. Now, you can let the third party read the list of words, or you can do it. You're going to use the 10 words under the circle of understanding, or if you want to use the NU6 word list, you can do that too. but you want to write down their responses. When you talk, you want to do it in a soft yet understandable volume level. When they get the word incorrect, you want to write down what their response is. Now, sometimes I will say it two or three times and I'll get louder and louder. Other times I will just do it one time. If they miss it or say, could you repeat that? I will just put a mark there and I will go on to the next word. Now, if they miss four, five, or six words, a lot of times I will say, go ahead and open your eyes. Now I want you to look at me and I'm going to go over those words again and I'll say those words again. And I will say, this here is a circle of understanding. It helps me to understand in a real life situation how you hear. For people with normal hearing, I can usually get out to 40 feet in a quiet room and they will get 100%. I was sitting 5-6 feet away from you and you only got a 30% or 40%. Now, those same words that you got wrong with your eyes open, you got 100% or you got a 90%. And then I use the key line, what this tells me. And I'll say, well, what this tells me is if you are in a quiet room and you're missing out on 40% of the words I'm saying, that tells me that when you are in a crowd or a noisy environment or a restaurant or a group, you're working a lot harder than you should have to. I can also tell that if people aren't looking at you, you're really missing out because you went from a 30% to a 90%. The same words, the same person, the same situation, the same environment, and you went from a 3 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10 just by opening your eyes. So 60% improvement just by looking at somebody. That tells me that you have to look at people to hear them. So if your spouse at home isn't looking at you, or if you're with a group of people, you really have to work hard to keep up so you can get what's going on. Does that make sense? And usually they say, yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes I'll even say, you know, it's not that you can't hear, because every time I said a word, you heard a word. It just wasn't the right word. It wasn't clear. When I said this word, you said that word. When I said ache, you said eight. When I said bathe, you said bay. When I said carve, you said cars. You're close, but it's a little off. But that's what changes everything. Does that make sense? I want to check in with them on an ongoing basis to make sure that we're on this journey together. Then I'll transition to the demo. Okay, let's see if we can improve this. Or I'll say, let's get you hearing better. And then I'll put the hearing aids in, or I'll say, you know, I'm going to enter your hearing loss into the computer, program your prescription into some hearing instruments, or sometimes for others, I'll just say, I'm going to do one more test, and I'll program some hearing aids. And at this point, I'll use this time to build more rapport and talk to them. What do you do for fun? How long you been working for? How long you been retired? What'd you do when you were working? These are questions that will allow you to kind of build a little bit more rapport. All right, setting expectations. Before you put in the hearing aids, you want to set expectations. And you can say, you know, when people are new to hearing aids, what they tend to say is they hear an echo, that they hear their own voice a little bit louder, that it's a little sharper, a little crisper. That is all normal. It's something that your brain just hasn't acclimated and adapted to hearing those sounds that it's used to hearing. Kind of like being in a dark room. If somebody flipped on the lights and you say, oh, that's bright, turn it down. It's not that it's bright. It's just that your brain hasn't adjusted to the light. Now you put in the hearing aids and you do the demonstration. You can do an aided word test now that they're wearing hearing aids. And you can say a list of words again. You can get up and walk behind them. You can have the spouse get up and walk behind them. You can talk to them with background noise on the computer. These are all different demos that add power to the technology. You can then switch them to program 2, which is the noisy environment, and they can see how the background noise changes. One thing that I tend to do is if I'm standing behind them, I'll step out of the office with the door open. I'll say, well, what'd you have for breakfast? And if they can hear me, then I'll step a few feet further back and I'll say, well, what's your favorite color? When was your last vacation? What kind of car do you drive? Sometimes you can ask those questions that will give you intel into their financial situation too. But you want to get their buy-in. So after they are doing well, then I have that smile on my face and I'm saying, that's pretty amazing, don't you think? Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't it be great if he heard like that all the time? Wouldn't it be great if you could hear like that all the time? When was the last time you heard like that? These are questions that I'll ask to kind of get them excited about the hearing aids. That's when I'll usually ask the question, well, what do you know about hearing aids? And a lot of times they'll say not very much. Okay, well, great. We'll start from the beginning. And I will usually show them the sheet that has the different styles of in the ear and behind the ear. And I'll say, these are the different styles of hearing aids. They either go behind our ear or they go in our ear. Now, these are the different shells, but they actually have nothing to do with the cost. The technology on the inside is what's most important. Explaining the technology. This is when I'll go into some of the features and benefits of this new technology, and I'm getting excited about it. Now, what I will tell them and explain with their hearing loss, the most important part is the technology on the inside. And that's comprised of the channels, the microphones, and the processing speed. Now, most times, I'm really just going into the basics, and I'm really just explaining the channels. And I do that by looking at their audiogram and saying how technology works is it's based on your specific hearing loss. Take your hearing loss, for example. I need to have a hearing aid that has enough adjustability to balance out your hearing. In the high tones, you need 70 decibels of power. If their hearing loss is at 70 decibels at 8,000 hertz, then I will say you need 70 decibels of power at this frequency. Now, this is not how it works to the T, but it is an easy way of explaining how hearing aids work for that individual, saying that we need to give more power in the high frequencies than we do in the low frequencies if they have a high frequency hearing loss. So then I'll tell them, we need to give you 70 decibels of power over here, and over here we only need to give you 25 decibels of power. If I gave you 70 decibels of power over here in the low frequencies, that would be way too much power for you. So I need to have a technology that will allow me to give you different amounts of power at different sounds. And that's what these channels are. They allow us to adjust those sounds differently, which is amazing. Then I will show them the visual. Here's a great visual that will explain how it works. So basically, in a nutshell, the more channels, the more fine-tuning that we can do, the more clear it becomes. I can match your hearing loss more precisely. I've also given people the analogy kind of like a piano. Think of it like a piano. If I had a piano with six keys, I could play Mary Had a Little Lamb, but I'm not going to be able to play something really sophisticated. The same thing with your hearing. If I had a hearing aid that has only six channels, I can make adjustments, but there's not a whole lot I can do with it. Now, if I have a piano with 48 keys, or if I have a hearing aid that has a lot more adjustments, there's a whole lot more I can do with it. The more channels, the more technology, the more clear it becomes. Then you can go into the microphones and the genius technology and all the features and benefits that pertain to the problems that they're having and the things that kind of excite them. You can talk about the TV streamer or how it connects to your smartphone. You can talk about the automatic processing system with the wind noise, the road noise, the background noise. So when they go into restaurants, it will automatically take that background noise and turn that down and focus on just what's in front of them. Now, sometimes they don't give you a lot, so you're kind of throwing out different bait, and you're kind of watching to see what they will bite on and what will excite them. And you kind of want to run with that because you want to, again, sell what is important to them. I'm finding the problem, and then I'm presenting a solution to the problem. But different features are exciting to different people, so make sure that you present the features and the benefits that are most important to them. So after I explain that, then I transition into the prices and I'll say, well, let me go over some of the different options that we have. And I will grab the price sheet and I do not hesitate. This whole presentation can be perfect up until this point and then go south right from here at the very end. You see, 90% of the time that we spend with that patient is not on closing the sale. But everything rides on us closing the deal. And that is the most important part, which takes place at the end. Now, that is not to say that the rest of that 90% of the time that we spent with them isn't powerful and important. It is. But we also have to get good at closing the sale. This is what separates the good from the great. You have to be confident. You have to convey that confidence that these are the best hearing instruments available. You are the best person to help them, and our company is the best to be working with. So don't rush this point. When you talk too fast, when you're going over prices, it will convey a nervousness, or it will come across as if you are too salesy. Whenever I start going over the pricing and the different options, I remind myself in my head, okay, slow down. Let's go over the different options. And I take my tone of voice and I tone that down. Now, with the price sheet facing the patients, say the easiest way that I can explain the differences between the hearing aids is the more channels and adjustments we have, the more clear and natural it will sound, just like on that visual I was just showing you. Now, this is the very best option, and you point to the ME1 because it has the most amount of fine-tuning adjustments and filters and channels. Now, we go all the way down to this, and then you can go down to the AudioTone Pro. Now, because of your hearing loss and how it changes at different tones, the more adjustments that we have for you, the better it's going to sound. Now, the reason this line is there, these three that are above this line, they're protected against moisture and dust and sweat. So they're going to last longer. These top two are automatically going to adjust. So when there's background noise, road noise, or wind noise, it's going to automatically adjust and make minor modifications to make speech sound even clearer. So that's when you can quickly go over the differences between the technologies. Now, this is when I'll usually put my hand over the prices and I'll say, now, if money weren't a part of it and you wore all of these for a month, that one would sound the best. Now, I usually point to ME2 and recommend this one. The reason why I recommend number two is often the finances are a big part of the decision, and most of our patients are retired on a fixed income. Now, some people spoil themselves and they get the best, and some have to have the best, but this one is a close second. It's still protected against moisture and dust. It's still automatic, but it also saves them around $1,000. Any one of these three would work great for you, though. It's kind of a good, better, best. Now, due to the ad that you came in off of, you get a extra, and then you'll tell them the discount that we have going on, which makes it this cost, which is this cost per month. Make sure that you put that per month there. Make sure that you have a good understanding of what the prices are. And then, after I explain that, I'll pause for a brief moment, and then I'll say, which one do you think works best for you? And then I shut up. That's the tough part, because silence is hard when you're waiting and you're asking them to make a decision. Sometimes at this point, they're going to ask you to make a recommendation, and go ahead and give them a recommendation based on what you know about them. Now, sometimes you can use the lifestyle chart. Sometimes, for me, I will use it if they're active and say the more active the person is, the better the hearing aid they need. But at the same time, I won't recommend an ME4 or an AudioTone Pro just because they live a sedentary lifestyle. I know that if it were my mom or dad, even if they did live a very sedentary lifestyle, I would still want them to hear the very best they could at the holidays and the Christmas parties and the birthday parties and at church on Sundays and after church when they all go out to eat. I know that they aren't working and I know that they're not super active, but those 10, 20, 30 times a year when they are in social get-togethers, I want them to hear the best they can, not mediocre. Now, that's just my perspective. So when I have somebody who's 90 years old, what my recommendation is, get the best that's comfortable for your budget. That's what I recommend. Now, again, you want to pay attention to the objections that they're going to be giving you and try to handle that before they even come up. So that's it. That is the presentation for new patients. Thank you for tuning in and listening. There are going to be different experiences, different twists, and different ways of handling those objections that we will continue to explain and educate on this podcast. But for now, that's a great starting point. Listen to this enough times where you feel like you can have that memorized and you can spout it out easily without having to stutter and think about it. Look to the sky, trying to figure it out in your mind. Make sure that you have that down to the point where it's smooth and easy, and they are going to look at you as if you are the expert. So happy selling, happy helping people. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again soon.